some company out this evening too. So let's pray and then let's go. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the freedom we still have to meet together. Thank you, Lord, for being up and at it. Pray that you would bless this time in your presence, and you would find our presence, our prayers, our praises, and the preaching and teaching and reading of your word, and the fellowship, and Lord, acceptable in your sight. Please bless us, Lord, and our time together, and we love you and praise you. Amen. Let's take a read Black Books, and we'll start there this morning with him, with number two. Number two in a read Black Books, the blessed, this blessed old book. Black Books away and go to the big ones and go to 173, and we'll, if you're fit, we'll stand as we sing Love Diffidently. 173 in the Big Books.
Now bring us the Bible reading, even though I forgot to check and see if you were there this morning.
Thank you.
So I'm reading this from the book of Psalms, Psalm 6. This is the least number of verses that Steve has ever given me. Something to celebrate this morning. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O have me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxes old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication, the Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed, let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Amen.
And that was a short one for Steve and for Norman. I can say there's not, I think the Bible reading for ourselves is quite short this morning too, but that's neither here nor there. We're hoping that Will will pull us out this evening with a longer Bible reading, and I certainly intend to have a lot more of the Bible to read this evening for my evening service. Don't forget to read prayer requests. Or your wee prayer list, if you would, and please do make a point of calling out the names of all the people on there. I know we don't know all the things that's bothering people, but the Lord does. So on top of that, if you have any private prayer requests, please let us know. Norman has legal stuff to sort out in Belfast this Wednesday, so he's travelling up there on Wednesday. Please do remember him in prayer as he goes. Please do pray for Norman and myself as we work in the church. There's always a lot more to do than you think. It's never just as simple as getting a can of paint out and lashing it onto the wall and it's done. If only it was, but it isn't. So please do remember that. Please do pray for Christine, Will's mother, not feeling the best ever since she got the third COVID injection. She says she's been having a lot of health difficulties, nothing thankfully serious, but even so, something that we could be doing without. Please do pray for Christine. Pray for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang, for Colin, Charlotte, Pat and Steve, medical issues there as well, and for each other. There's a lot going on with Ukraine and Russia still. Please do pray about that. Most importantly, our leaders, people are supposed to be running our countries, are running our countries into the ground, so please do pray for them. Can't really think of anything else. Is there anything else, Norman? Well,
prayer request for William.
For William?
Yeah.
He's already covered. He's down there. Thank you. Put a circle around Pat and Steve. They send their regards, by the way, so please don't forget to pray for them. Give them a shout. Call with just whatever as you get a chance. I think that's about that. I hate that there's only a few of us here this morning, but there will be a few more this evening, the Lord willing, and we will look forward to seeing everybody else then. In the meantime, Will, would you pray for us, and then we'll continue on.
Dear Father, thank this day, Lord, thank you for bringing safety and security into your house today, Lord. This evening, everybody has this cover, Lord. Bless the families you represented both here, and free the safe churches throughout the world, Lord, and bear from them, keep them safe. Especially if you're persecuted church and countries where the word of God is hounded, Lord, and people are killed for professing to be Christians, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless the Christians, Lord. And we give them all the gifts, give them everything they need, and pray for them, and pray for them. May we pray for them, Lord. Never forget them, Lord. And bless them as well, Lord. Roof after the Brandon's well worked with now, Mr. Armstrong did it for Metro, we'll keep safe as well. Lizzie O'Maris, Hospital for Blackness, she's taking the Zoom call, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord, help her, Lord, and bring her out to church this evening, Lord, and keep her safe and well. But Frank, deliver him and keep him, Lord, and join mercy's own old dear France, Lord, deliver from any troubles, Lord, and keep him safe and secure as well, Lord, and draw him closer to walk with thee, Lord. But Charlotte, a call, Lord, help him and keep him safe and well, Lord, and bring him out to church tonight, Lord, and minister on to them as well, Lord. Save Stephen, Colin, and John, Lord, and bring him out to church, Lord, and save their souls for thy honour, for thy glory. We have Esther and her afflictions and her health conditions, Lord. Heal her, Lord, and deliver from her pain, Lord, and help her, Lord, and bring her into church again, Lord. And pray for her and bless her as well, Lord. We've called Christine Taylor, Lord, deliver from any trouble, Lord, minister on to them, Lord, and also bless them and keep them safe as well, Lord. We have Stephen Pat, pray for Stephen and St. John, Lord, heal, Lord, and pray for Pat also, Lord. Give her some respite, Lord, and help them and keep them, Lord, and keep them going, Lord. And you know what they need, Lord, and supply them every need. With Mark and Mark and Marble, Lord, bless them also, Lord. With us as we are a new Sunday, Lord, as we started on the cusp of starting a new week, Lord, provide for us and keep us, Lord. We will do everything except one aside for Jesus Christ's kingdom.
Yeah, thank you, Will. Let's take a big hymn books again, a couple more songs to sing, and then a bit of chatting to do. Hymn number 304, we haven't sung this one for a while. It's called Nothing Between.
I
133. And if they're able, we'll stand as we sing. Tell me the old, old story.
Thank you.
supposed to be looking at Romans 12 this evening, this morning. Well, might even look at it this evening too. We're all talking about this evening and what we're going to be doing and who we're going to be saying and what we're going to be singing. But this is this morning, and we're in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I originally only had about 2 or 3 verses to read, but I think I might read a few more. Excuse me. That was a bit of a rough day out there today. It's good to have a wee bit of heat. Someday we'll even have a wee bit more light whenever we get round to poking a few more holes in the walls. But in the meantime, if we're all in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, I want to spend a few minutes on the subject of pleasing your Saviour. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministering, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth in teaching, or he that exhorteth in exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits, and recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. We're not going to look into all of that, although all of it applies to the message this morning. But I want to take the first couple of verses and speak for a little bit on the subject of pleasing your Saviour. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our gathering together, and I pray that you would be one of our number this morning. Be with our absent brethren, and be with those that have slipped and slid, Lord, and please, I pray, you restore them to fellowship and to walking and talking with you. We love you and thank you. We pray this and for your help with the service, all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Pleasing your Saviour. These first two verses, this is chapter 12 of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It's not to the Roman Catholic Church, it's to the Jewish church that was in Rome. And this is what Paul begged of them, beseeched them, that they offer their bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the second verse, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, is unfortunately not a very popular message. Because most folks want to fit in, and most folks want to take the easy road. It's not a popular message. Whenever you even start talking about serving king and country, or queen and country, or your fellow man, or especially the Lord's, that raises people's hackles. I'm not talking about anyone in particular. These verses always hit home with me as I'm reading them. A lot of folks will say, but I'm no man's servant, and nobody can force me to do what I don't want to do. It's my right to do whatever I like, to be free. Now, two of these, I don't know, technically, maybe only one of them's right, and that is that no one can force me, but I'm actually thinking in retrospect that none of them are correct, and yet so many people believe them. Every man is a servant to something. A servant to their own lusts or addictions or power or money or something. Every man is a servant. And whenever they get the notion to do something about whatever it is they love, money is no object and time is no object. And you know it's bad for you whenever it's directing your life in a downward direction. The other assertion that no one can force me is actually wrong. People have been forced, and they can be forced, and there are people that will force them. And one of the best ways to do it is to put people in such a state of fear that they will take any out whatsoever. Any out. They will take any solution. And a lot of people have. A lot of people have obeyed some of the wildest, most anti-Christian and anti-democratic things that this world has ever seen in some of so-called the freest countries in the world. And people are believing anything that they're told, and they're acting upon it. As far as your right to be free, we don't have a right to be free. It's not something that is given to us and costs nothing. It costs people their lives. It cost Jesus Christ his life on the cross. It has cost even the right that you think you have to carry that Bible. Goodness, hundreds and thousands of people lost their lives to put that King James Bible in your hands. And we think we have the right to wander around, not speaking German, not being taxed into the ground by the, what did they call the German government back in the day? But you know what I mean. Some people died. Pardon? People died for that. It's not a free right. It's not. It's a thing that needs to be protected and nurtured. But today, all we do is take it as an excuse to do whatever we want, to fill our pockets and bellies at other people's expenses. But the Lord's not asking us to die for him. He's not saying, look, gather up the reins of your mind and get ready, because you're going to die at 12 o'clock. They're going to come in and they're going to shoot all the Christians in Bethel. You'll only need a revolver for that. No machine guns required today. The Lord's not asking us to die for him. If that was it, it would be the work of a few minutes and then it would be done. In this portion of God's word, Paul is beseeching the people to live for Jesus, to offer their bodies as an ongoing, as a living sacrifice. Now, this is not an exchange for being saved. This doesn't pay back the debt that Jesus paid for us on the cross. This is what, oh goodness, this is just us living our lives in a way that pleases God. This is making our lives acceptable to God. Now, we need to bear in mind two other things. A, it's a reasonable service. It's not too much to ask, seeing as God died for our sins. And B, you're going to have to do that facing opposition from the church. From the church to the church and to what you believe whenever you go out in the world. It says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's by time in prayer, time in God's word, time praising, all the things that you do as a Christian that the world doesn't. They actually keep your head screwed on. So, how do we do that? How do we do what is not just acceptable, but pleasing to God? The good will of God are things that I believe are not harmful, but are not necessarily Christian. The acceptable will of God is basically the bare minimum of what God likes. And the good will of God is the things that people have done as they actively pursue the will of God in their lives. When people love the Lord and think, and Lord, what could I do for you today? And what are those things? Well, I'm going to look at not so much as what those things are, but the things that God doesn't like. And then we can colour those out and do things that's left. First of all, God hates sin. He doesn't like it. Not one bit. In all its forms. And we ought to do our best to cut that out. He hates it so much, in fact, that he's not letting any into heaven. That means anybody with a sin nature, not getting into heaven. Not going to be there. Well, what is sin? If something's bad, or you do something, and you honestly, you couldn't bring it into church and talk about it in prayer, and ask God to bless it, or have it sit in the middle of church and not cause offence, it's probably sin. It's probably bad. Now, there's a few good examples of that in the Bible. And this is where the extra verses come in today. In Proverbs 6 and 16, that should ring a bell. It says, these six things doth the Lord hate, and seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. God hates those things. So if we're not doing those things, we're on the right track. Now if I was to say to you, what other things do you know that God likes or doesn't like? You'd probably come up at some stage with the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, I am the Lord your God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Next commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord shall not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The one after that is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, in other words, get to church. The next one is, six days thou shalt labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt do no work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the Sabbath. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house, nor his wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. Goodness, there's lots of stuff in the Bible explicitly telling us about what God likes and doesn't like. There's rules for babies, there's rules for houses, for clothing, for relationships. And all of them are designed to give everybody a fair shake, to give everybody a chance, so that people can sort of live together without tearing each other's heads off. Now there's a few things you can do that are explicitly mentioned. The first one is to memorize God's word, Psalm 119:11. If you don't want to sin against God, if you want to please him, you're supposed to hide his word in your heart. 2 Timothy 2:15 tell us that we ought to study the word of God to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Whenever Norman is working outside there and I'm carrying him the tools, he knows what he's doing with them. He has proved them, he has experience using them, and as you can see, the outside of there, except for the back wall, is pretty much sorted out. In Mark, and at the end of the other Gospels, the Lord tells us to go and preach the Gospel. Of all the things that you've learned from the Word of God, go and share them. Point people to the foot of the cross. And in 2 Timothy, it tells us that we ought to tend to ourselves. We ought to make ourselves a vessel that is clean and honourable and sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Now, I know I'm leaning rather heavily on the Scriptures, but that's what it's all about. And there seems to be a lot there to do. There is a lot in the Bible, and there's no way to make it less. The thing about it is, we don't have to have all of these things rolling around in our head all the time, because the Lord said, whenever we needed it, that the Holy Spirit would bring it to our remembrance. And even lost folks have an idea of what they should and shouldn't be doing, because if a Christian goes out and does something that they shouldn't be doing, lost people are going to say, you shouldn't be doing that. Or if you kill a wasp, what's that? Well, that's one of God's creatures, and a Christian wouldn't do that. The Lord summed it up and very nicely in Matthew 12. Scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were never friends of God, but there were a few amongst them that loved him and sought him out and wanted to know more. And this details one of them. There's no name given. It says one of the scribes came, and having heard them, that's Jesus and the other scribes and the Sadducees, reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, he asked them, which is the first commandment of all? Now you would think that first commandment would be the first commandment. But the Lord says, Jesus said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. And the word of God goes on to say, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there's none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbour as himself, is more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And after, no man after that durst ask him any questions. In other words, he had said enough to knock any argument on the head. Now, a lot of people think that if the Bible says to love my neighbour as myself, but the Bible says to love the Lord first, and that means all of those other verses of scriptures that we have just been reading, they all apply. They all apply. We should be keeping an eye on those. There are, would you believe it, even commandments in the Bible that God says to look after your neighbor's stuff. His cattle, his hedges, his sheep, whatever it is. But if we love the Lord first, and we have straightened our lives out, and we're turning up in church, and we're turning up in the presence of God, and we're turning up in the presence of the Word of God, and we're ministering to souls in whatever capacity we have, and you love your neighbor in the same way, It's not a matter of giving your neighbor whatever it is that they want, because you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to give them what they need. In the same way that you give yourself what it is that you really need. Not more food, not more time in bed, not more entertainment, but a little bit more time in the presence of God. The Bible is not a book of opinions. And it's not a book of options. Or a book of advice. It's quite literally an operating manual for the human person, whether they be man, woman, boy or girl. And the only one that will keep you right with God, i.e. getting saved and living for Jesus. And we ought to consider it seriously. We really ought to consider the Bible seriously and what it says. As serious as our daily food and drink, we never skip on meals and the maintenance of our bodies. We certainly shouldn't on the maintenance of our souls. I know there's a bunch more stuff in the Bible. And there's wee things here and there that the Lord said about rendering unto Caesar that which belongs to Caesar and give to God that which belongs to God. But if you're in the Word of God and you read these and do a little bit of thinking and studying on them, the Holy Spirit will remind you in due time. All you got to do is do what God says, and that will please your Savior. Why should we? Well, because in the endless ages of eternity, we're going to be living in His house, those of us that are saved. I think we ought to. Not only is it not more than we are able to do, the Word of God says it's a reasonable service. It's not too much to ask for someone that is going to be spent in the endless ages of eternity in a new and glorified body in heaven with all the saints that have gone before, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and all of God's angels. It's not too much to ask. In fact, it's very reasonable of them to ask. I know it seems difficult. Sometimes it's hard to break old habits. And it seems like it's too much even. But God says, you can even come to me and talk about that. Doesn't that say that in Matthew 11? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. Stopping there. Thank you very much indeed. God bless you. And we'll sing a song. And then we'll be done. Big hymn books, if you would. Big hymn books. Let me see where we're at. You have one you want?
322.
We'll try. Living for Jesus. 322, let's stand as we sing.
Striving to please Him in all I do.
Speak to souls that don't yet know you, Lord, and greatly convict them of sin and judgment to come. Please save them before it's everlasting too late. I love you and praise you. I pray, Lord, for a time of rest, for a time of contemplation this afternoon, and look forward to meeting again this evening. We ask all this, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now,